Begin the current daf and sechtes b'metzia daf pei gimel. Begin 5 lines down from the top of the amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had brought a brisa that elaborated on the machlekes in our Mishnah, which actually the brisa brought one extra opinion than was mentioned in the Mishnah regarding someone that transports a barrel of a person from one place to another, and on the way he trips, he breaks the barrel. What's his liability? So the Tanakama, which the Gemara actually brings as Remeir, that's the first price we bring, says that both Hashem Mechinim and Hashem Mesachah could swear that he wasn't negligent, and therefore he's going to be exempt. Now, the Gemara proved from there that obviously Remeir holds that Nitko, some of the trips, is not only is he not negligent, actually he considers it an einus, because Hashem Mechinim, fine, he's not negligent, he's going to be exempt, but Hashem Mesachah is chayvim on like Genev and Aveda. If he's saying that Hashem Mesachah, who, when he trips, is going to be exempt for the tripping, and as long as he swears that he wasn't negligent in anything else, so we see that it's actually considered as an einus, because that's why Hashem Mesachah is an exempt. On that, the Gemara asks, but that seems to be contradicted by a different brisa, which is discussed at length in Baba Kama, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, and Perek HaManiach, regarding someone that he falls and the jug breaks, and then someone gets injured on it, that he's going to be liable. Obviously, as the Gemara there explains, that Remeir holds the nitkal is a pesheya, and that's why he's chayiv. So there is a contradiction. So on that, we had Reb Elazar, who had said, Tavra, he said, you're right, it's difficult. And you have to say that whoever learned this for his brisa in the opinion of Reb Meir wouldn't hold the way this second brisa holds the opinion of Reb Meir. In other words, this is machlekes regarding what was Reb Meir's opinion if Nitkal is Peshea, like that brisa as it's mentioned in Baba Kama, or like this brisa in regards to Halacha Vamishnah holds Nitkal is not a Peshea, and actually is even an Einus. That was how Reb Elazar had answered it. On that is what says the Gemara, Reb Chiya bar Abba Amr Reb Yechanan. He actually comes to say that he disagrees with Reb Elazar. And he says, no, we could even say that it's one Tana who teaches both Brises. And everyone agrees in Reb Meir's opinion that Nitkal, if someone trips, he definitely is a Peshea. Like the second Brises says, which is elaborated there in Perek HaManiach, that if you trip, you're Peshea, and therefore you're chayv in whatever damages your thing causes. Now, so what's the understanding then in our brisa over here? In other words, in the halacha of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, why is it that Hashem Mechinim and Hashem Mesachah are exempt with making a shvua if it's considered a peshia, it's a negligence? And that he says that shvua zu takanas chachami. This oath that the porter, this guy who's carrying the barrel, whether it be Hashem Mechinim or Hashem Mesachah, that he makes an oath to be exempt through that, that's actually a rabbinic injunction. In other words, you're right. According to the basic halacha, Hashem Mechinim and Hashem Mesachah should be chayiv when they trip and fall, because it's a peshia, and a peshia, even Hashem Mechinim is chayiv. But it's a rabbinic injunction, which the Gemara later on is going to explain what exactly is his oath that he's taking if he's negligent. So what are you swearing? You're swearing that you weren't? You were negligent. You tripped. Tripping itself is a negligence. So what is the oath? But either way, says, and the Gemara explained it, this oath to be exempt through an oath is a rabbinic takana. Why? Shim iyato imrikin, because if you don't say this, that the porter should be exempt from paying when he trips by taking an oath. In lecha adam hamav chavas lechaver mimakom lemakom. It's necessary for takanas ha'olam, because or else no one's going to ever be willing to transport a barrel for a guy from one place to another, because he's afraid that he's going to trip and it's going to break. So he said, you know, it's not worth it for me. This is the liability is too severe. I'm not interested in doing this. So no one's going to ever help anyone carrying. So it's for that reason that the Chum said both by Hashem Mechinim and Hashem Mesachar, if he makes a shvua, he could be exempt, even though the actual tripping is a negligence. So the Gemara asked, but heichem mishtabeya? According to Reb Chiya bar Abba, according to Reb Meir, exactly what is this oath that he's taking to exempt himself, but he's definitely negligent? You know, generally, as we said in the first interpretation, the oath that he makes is, I wasn't negligent. So then you could say, if the tripping itself is not a negligence, it's an einus or something like an Eva Aveda, so you're swearing that you didn't have any other negligence. But if the tripping itself is negligence, so what does it help to say, I wasn't negligent, I wasn't, let's say, picking up my hand, I wasn't doing any other things? The tripping itself is negligence. So what is the oath for? So Rabbi says, the oath is, Shavua Shaloi B'Kavona Shavartia. The oath that he takes is, I did not intentionally break it. So that he could make a shvua. You're right, the fact that he tripped, you were negligent. And really, you should be chayiv. But the Rabbanan said, we're not going to be mechayiv for the tripping, because or else you're never going to be willing to do it for another person again. But at least you have to swear that you didn't do it intentionally. You didn't do it intentionally, and you tripped. Okay, that for that negligence, we'll let you go, and you're not going to have to pay. That said, Reb Meir is even by, not only by Hashem Mechinim, but even by Hashem Mesachah. So again, that's how Reb Chiya bar Abba, he's explaining now the 3 different opinions, as we did on the previous after Reb Elazar, but one thing Reb Chiya bar Abba is changing is that you could even say that not like Rabbi Lazar that we have to say that it's a machlekes and what Rameir's opinion is. No, Rameir holds like Nitkel is Peshe, like the other Braisa, but the reason why your Patra is over here is for Takanas Chacham. And that was Rabbi Yehuda, and that's Rabbi Yehuda came to say, to argue and Lameimer to say that no, not like Rameir, which we said is the same like the other Rameir, tripping is not considered negligence. Rather, it's somewhere in the middle. It's close to being beyond the person's control, but it's also close to being negligence. So it's similar to like the middle category of Shmira, where it's not an Oinus, but it's not a Pshia. It's like a Neva and Aveda. And moreover, Rabbi Yehuda held that there is no Takanas Chacham over here. There's no rabbinic injunction that we should exempt the guy. No, guy will, you know, you're liable, but people will still do the job they do of being a porter. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said, Shemechin Mishaba. So a guy who's watching for free, he swears that he wasn't negligent because actual tripping itself is not considered negligence. So that's not a negligence, and you didn't do any other negligence, so therefore he's going to be exempt. Whereas Nesu Sachar Yishalom, but a guy who's watching for pay, he'll have to pay, and that's because Haikadina, Vahakadina, each according to his basic halacha, Shemechinim is exempt if it wasn't negligent. Shemesachar, even if you swear you weren't negligent, it's still like a Gnev and Aveda type of category, and you're chayvin that anyway, so therefore he can't exempt himself by swearing that he wasn't negligent because the actual falling itself is like a Gnev and Aveda where he's chayvin anyway. On that Vasra Rabbi Lazar Labema, that was the third opinion. Rabbi Lazar came to say that in, yes, meaning Gemara Kirameir, my tradition is that, as Rameir, the first opinion had it, that both the Shemechinim and Shemesach are going to be exempt. I also heard that tradition by taking a Shavua. However, Timeani, what he said, but I wonder if both of them could swear to exempt themselves. And it's the same as the first version had this. Three Ramachalikas. The only difference is in how we interpret Rameir's opinion. Again, because Rabbi Lazar was learning it as an exemption of because he held Nitkel is La Peshe in the opinion of Rameir of our Mishnah. Whereas Chibarab has explained that no, Nitkel is a Peshea, but still the Shvuah is that I didn't do it deliberately. It's a Takanas Chacham. But the other opinions are the same. So Rabbi Lazar comes to say that, wait, I don't understand. How could a Shemechin Meshemesachar exempt himself? So he starts off with Shemesachar. He says, Bishle Meshemechin, I understand, okay, you want to say a guy was watching for free. So Mishtabeh Ashle Pashaba. So I could understand that he would take an oath that he didn't have any other negligence. In other words, because Rabbi Lazar says, I in general hold like a Yehuda, that the actual tripping is not a negligence. Now, it's not an Einus, but it's not a negligence. So therefore, that the tripping wasn't a negligence. And also, Shemechinim, at least he swears that he didn't do any other negligence, so okay, fine, he's exempt. But why, when the guy was getting paid to watch it, why is he swearing? Kile Pasha, even if he didn't have any other negligence, Nami Boy Shlume, he still has to pay. Because the actual tripping itself is like a Gnev and Aveda, where it gets lost by itself. He's high for those things as long as it wasn't a Ninus, and it wasn't a Ninus. That's one question. Continues Rabbi Lazar, Vafilu Shemechinim Nami. Actually, my question is even on the Shemechinim too. Because Hatenach b'mokamadon, I understand that if where he was walking was a sloped area, where if it's sloped, you know, it's not a negligence and it's not an einus, but it's close to being an einus, so you consider it like a gnev and aveda. So okay, shemechinim would be exempt because it wasn't an outright pshia. But shalei b'mokamadon says if the guy's walking on a straight road, mimotz mishtabeish lepasha, what does it help for the shemechinim to swear that he wasn't negligent? Because, what do you mean? The fact that you tripped on the straight road, obviously you were negligent. Tie your shoelaces. Be more careful. That was a negligence, and therefore even the Shemechinim should be chayiv. Va'afilu b'mokam madrinami. And then he continues even more. He says, I don't even understand, even actually in the place where it is sloped, that even there I don't understand how a Shemechinim could swear to exempt himself. Because ha'tein l'cheched l'keroya. I understand the place where there's no witnesses. There's no one saw it. So then, no one saw, then you could exempt yourself by swearing that you weren't negligent. But when there were people that saw, you have to bring witnesses, and only then are you exempt. So how can this teaching have been said that, oh, okay, the porter, when he was transporting, okay, he could just swear there wasn't negligent. No, that's not enough. You have to bring witnesses that you weren't. To sound like we're in the Braisa. Isa ben Yehuda, he says, the Pasuk says, Ein Raya, no one saw if this Shemer was negligent or not. So Shavuos Hashem Ti Ben Shneim, then there's an oath that takes place between the two of them. He swears that he wasn't, and then he's exempt. But says Isi ben Yehuda Hayesh Roy, the inference of the pasuk is, but if someone did see, then Yavi Ra'ah Yavi Yift, and then you have to bring proof, and only then are you exempt. You can't just swear your way out of it. So says Rabbi Lazar, says I don't understand how Shemesach and even Shemechinim, I don't understand how the tradition had said that Hashem Echidim could just swear and exempt himself. You would have to bring witnesses, and that's the explanation of the three machlekas. Again, what changed was Rabbi Chiya Abba and Rabbi Yechanan saying in regards to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, you could even say both Rabbi Meirs are the same opinion. It's nitkal pesheya, but you're exempt by taking a shvu because they're kanz chachamim, so that people should not refuse helping out other people of transporting the barrels of wine. Now, continuing on this halacha that was mentioned of Issa ben Yehuda, the Gemara brings the following incident. Sahu gavad, there was a certain person that he was transporting a barrel of wine in the square, the city center of Mechuza, which was the name of a city. Now, the guy who was transporting it, he broke the barrel on a beam that was coming out of a wall that was sticking into the Rishus HaRabim in this beam in this place of Mechuza. So Asla Kamid Rabba came in front of Rabba. So Amalei Rabba said to him, the square, the center of Mechuza, there's a lot of people there in that part of the city. So he said, Zil, I see Raya. So you got to go ahead and bring proof. In other words, you're not trustworthy to just take an oath and say that you weren't negligent, which that is the halacha, as we mentioned before. Rather, you need witnesses, and then vifta, then you'll be exempt. So Amalei Rabbi Yisab, the son of Rabbi, said to him, come on, who are you pasting like, Tati? Ki'isi? Amalei in. He said, yes, ki'isi usvila and kavasei. In general, we hold like Isi ben Yehuda, and therefore his halacha that says that you could exempt yourself by an oath, that you weren't negligent, and therefore you're exempt, does not apply when there is raya, and therefore you have to bring witnesses as testimony, and you can't just swear your way out. So to another case like this, Hu gavad amalei lechavi, there was a certain person that said to his friend, zil zavenli arba mea donichama, go ahead and I want you to buy for me 400 barrels of wine. So azal zavenli, he went and he bought for him. L'saif osle kamei amalei, at the end he came to the guy who sent him on this mission, and he said to him, look, Zvini loch arba mea donichama, I went and I bought for you 400 barrels of wine, but v'tekiflehu, however, now then they soured. So osle kamei, the rabbi came in front of Rabba. Amalei, Rabba said to him, look, arba mea donichama tekifi, 400 barrels of wine, kala isla la milsa. The word gets out about such a large purchase. In other words, when such a large quantity would have soured and spoiled, and who was it by, and whose was it? Because in other words, Rav was basically telling him that maybe this was actually yours, or maybe you actually bought originally vinegar at a much cheaper price, and it never soured by you. You're just cutting this guy, you're taking him, creating a loss by him, where he gave you a certain amount of money to buy 400 barrels of wine, you bought 400 barrels of vinegar, and he said, and you kept the rest of the money. He said, look, I'm sorry, it soured, you know, but I'm exempt. What do you want from me? I did my job. So it says, Rav to him, no, zil I see raya. Since this is, everyone knows about these types of things, you got to bring proof. You got to prove to me, kar kimiz amnis lahu, that originally when you did buy it, chamer ma'al yahava ve'ifta, that you bought full-fledged wine, and only then it must have soured by you, and then you'll be exempt. But just to swear that that's what happened is not enough, because it's yesh raya. So Amalei, Rav Yisab Reis, Rav Yisab, his son, said to him, come on, ki isi, who are you saying like isi? Amalei said to him, in ki isi, yes, like isi, with Sri Lanka, but say in the general, we hold like him. And so too in this case, where if it's yesh raya, then shuvas Hashem tiyu min shneim is not enough, you have to bring witnesses. Rav continues on these halachas and says, askin Rav Chiya bar Yisab b'sichra. Rav Chiya bar Yisab instituted in Sichra that hani didaru ba'agra, that those who would carry and transport with agra, which is a certain type of a yoke, which was bent in the middle and would put it on his shoulder and it would carry two sticks on the two edges, and with that he would carry a heavy load. And v'itfra, and if it broke, in other words, so if a worker went and he was transporting barrels from one place to another and he was carrying it with that yoke and it broke, nishlam palga, then he has to pay half the damages. My time, what's the reason? Because it's actually somewhere in the middle. Nafish lechat. When people would carry with this type of a yoke, he would carry something that was too much really for one person to carry, and he shouldn't have carried it himself. But vizutra litre, but it's still too little to have two people carry it. So what people used to usually do is they would push themselves to carry it as one person. So therefore, karv la'inis v'karv la'pshia. So on the one hand, it's close to being considered beyond his control, meaning it's, what do you want me to do? It wasn't something I could have had two people do. At the same time, it's also close to being a negligence. Why carrying it yourself? It's too much for one person to carry. So since it's somewhere in the middle, therefore, he made him chayiv in half. That was the tikkun he made, where it's not liable totally, and neither is it exempt totally. Now, bedigla, however, regarding carrying it with this yoke of digla, which is a type of a wood which was spliced at its head, and he would tie in it the weight of what two people would have to carry usually, and he would put his neck between these two pieces of the wood, and he would put it on his two shoulders, and the edge of it was very long, so when he had to rest, it would just be able to stick it down on the ground to take a rest. So if he carried it with that type of a yoke, then Mishalem Kula, then he has to actually pay for the whole damages, because that's a negligence. Because that's increasing the load way more than one person could carry, that you would have to have at least two people to carry. So that's a negligence. He should have had another person help you, and therefore if it breaks, then he's going to be chayav for all the damages. Now the Gemara concludes with the following incident regarding this type of cases, but regarding the higher standard that tzaddikim have, that Rabbi Baba Chanan, Tavrele Hanushukulai. So there were these people that were they were transporters. They were taking his chavita de chamra. They broke his barrel of wine as they were transporting it, and moreover, it broke not in a place where there was a slope, so there was a negligence. Or it's talking about where they carried a bedigla with these yokes, which one person carries what really two people should carry, which again is a negligence, and therefore they're liable for all the damages. And Shakuliglimayu, so he took their cloaks as payment for the debt which he felt they owed him, and let's say they didn't want to pay him. So he took that for payment because they owe him now. Also Amr la Rav. So now the workers came and they told the Rav, said, look, he took our stuff away for what we had done. So Amalei, so Rav said to Rav Baba Chanan, he says, Havlu Glimayu, give them their cloaks back. Amalei said to him, Dinach, is that the law? What do you mean they owe me money and I could go ahead and collect from them for what they owe me? So Amalei, so Rav said to him, in, yes, that is the law. Because as the Pasuk of Mishlei says, Laman telich b'derech tovim, that you should go in the way of the good, which is, tells us that you should go lift the Mishra Siddin beyond the letter of the law. Although you rightfully could go ahead and take their stuff away for payment, but it's not something that's appropriate for someone of your stature. You shouldn't be grabbing away their cloaks as payment. So Yavlu Glimayu, so he gave them their cloaks back. So Amalei, now they told him, they told to Rav, look, Ani Anan, we're poor. Why do you think we have these jobs? V'tachinu kul yom, we work the whole entire day. V'kafina, we're starving. V'les lamid, we have nothing to ourselves. And we worked all day, and we didn't get paid. So Amalei, so he said to Rav Bochanan, zil havigrai, now go pay them. So Amalei, dina hachi, that's the law. What do you mean, I should pay them? Not only I shouldn't pay them, they what? They broke my stuff. They owe me money. So Amalei, and he says, yes. Because ultimately, they worked for you. And as the pasuk there says, "Mishli va'arches tzaddikim tishmer," and the path of the righteous you should safeguard. In other words, that the righteous, someone worked for you, you pay him. The fact that he broke your thing, okay, they owe you. Don't grab away their thing. Go lift the mishra siddin. Then you could take them to court. You could have the court go through the proceedings and get paid. But don't go grab it away, and neither don't not pay them for the work that they did. We shall return to you the sixth parak of Masechet Bamitzvah, parak Haseches. And then with that we begin the seventh parak, parak Haseches Hapoilim, continuing on related discussion regarding someone that hires workers. Haseches Omnim was told by hiring a craftsman, someone like a cobbler, a guy that does a job in his house, you pay him for the job. Here is someone that has workers, daily labor. So the Mishnah says, Haseches Hapoilim, someone hires a worker. V'amalem, and he tells them, L'hashk Malhar, he wants them to get up extra early or stay much later. Says the Mishnah, Malkum Shenogu Shaloy Lahashkim Shaloy Laharv. If the Minig HaMalkum, what it's called, if the custom of that location where they live is not for workers to get up extra early or to stay extra late, then Einer Shalakayfen. Then this guy who hired them suddenly one day says, "Oh, I want you guys to wake up earlier." He can't force them to do that because that's not the custom of the place. And when he hired him, that was not the assumption, which the Gemara is going to ask. It's pretty obvious if that's not the Minig. So why would we think that he could force them? Continues the Mishnah. Malkum shenogu lazun yasin. If the custom is to feed the workers, you gotta feed them. Lasapik rimatika, if it's even to provide them with relish, then yasapik. Then if that's the custom, you gotta give them that too. Says the Mishnah, Kolkim in the Medina, everything is according to the custom of that country. If that's the custom and you hire them, then it's under the assumption of those minhagim, of those customs. Now the Mishnah continues regarding this halacha of feeding the workers. Maisir Reb Yechon ben Masya Sha'amal Abnai, that he told his son, say sachalon apilim, go out and hire for us workers. We need some good laborers. Halach upasikalem mezainus. So he went, he got workers, and he told them that he's going to feed them when they work for him. Now okshabai, it's love when he came to his father and he told them that he promised them he's going to feed them. So Amaloi, the father said to him, Beni, my son, afilamata oish lehem, even if you're going to now provide for them, Kisuda Shleime B'Shaite, like the festive meals of Shleime in his time, meaning at the time when he was king, because there was a period of time when he was a king and when he was a commoner, when he was not king at that time. So it says, even if you could give him the meals that the king Shleime had, who was the wealthiest man, Lo Yotzis Dei Chevas Chemon, you have not fulfilled your obligation with them. Why? Shehim B'nei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, because they're the children of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and as the Gemara will explain, the Suda of Avram was greater than the Suda of Shleime. So if you promise them to feed them, then you realize how much we're going to have to spend on feeding them, because their meals are the meals of their families, which is bigger than Shleime HaMelech when he was a king. So Ella, rather, he told them, Achli Yischilu B'Malacha, until they don't start working yet, where until they actually start working, all there was an oral commitment. Now, regarding backing out of words, then you don't even have what's called mechusra aman. You don't even have that a lack of faithfulness. Because, says the father to the son, if they're going to start working, then you can't back out. You know what we're going to have to feed them? So quickly, until they start working, tseva amalem, go out and tell them, look, I know I promised you guys I'm going to feed you, but amanasha in lechem alai elapas bekinnis bavad, on the condition that the only thing that you have on me that I have to feed you is bread and legumes and beans, that's it. But don't expect what your family, meaning Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, is used to. He actually says, he didn't have to say this, because as we said in the Mishnah, everything goes according to the custom of the country. So since the custom of the country, let's say, would be bread and legumes, although their family, the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, their meals are who knows what, you don't have to stipulate that, because it goes anyways based on the minig hamakom. Now the Gemara asked on the opening halacha of our Mishnah that we said that if he tells them to get up extra early or stay extra late, if that's not the minig, then they don't have to listen to him. So the Gemara is pshita, it's pretty obvious. Why would we think that he could force them? So the Gemara, lo tzrich, it's necessary to tafalahu aigrayu, where he actually paid them a little bit more than workers usually get paid. So ma'a detema, what would you think to say that amalahu, he could tell them, oh, hadithfui lahu aigrayu, what do you mean? Why, this that I added on to your paycheck, is a daijidimek demistu machashekasisu bahadu, because I thought, obviously, that you're going to then work earlier and later, that's why I'm paying you a little bit more. Kamash malam, that's the chidus of the Mishnah, the amrlei, that the workers could tell him. No. Hide the tough islam, this that you are increasing our wage, is a daijidavdin lach avidito shapirte, is with the intention that we're going to do good work for you, but we're not coming earlier or staying later than regular workers are. And since that's not the custom of the country, they don't have to stay earlier or later. Now, a related discussion, Amr Shlokesh, he says, as a continuing time in Bays, regarding when the worker has to come to work and when he has to leave. So he says, Payel, a worker, bechnisase, when he's coming into the city, meaning back home from the work in the fields, mishaloi, that's on his own account, meaning he has to give up from his own to the employer. In other words, and he has to stay all the way till it's dark before he starts heading home. So going home is on his own time. But b'tziyasai, and is going out in the morning, when he's going out in the morning to the work, to the fields, that's Mishal Balabais. That's coming off the account of the employer, meaning he doesn't have to leave earlier. Rather, he could leave when the sun is coming out, by sunrise. In other words, although the work is from sunrise to sunset, but the journey is considered from whose? So we're saying on the way back, which is after the sun has already set, that's on the worker's account. But in the morning heading out, that's actually only after sunrise, does only then they have to leave. So essentially the journey is on the employer's account. What's the proof? Shanem, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Tizrach HaShemesh, that the sun rises, then Ye'osefen, then the wild animals gather themselves in, because the pasuk previously said, Tashas Chayshach V'hilayla, Hashem makes night, makes darkness, and therefore it's night. And it says, Boisrimus Kol Chayseyar, and then all the wild animals they go around, meaning at the nighttime, then Tizrach HaShemesh, when the sun rises, so it's going back on the wild animals, Yesef, and then they gather themselves out, they stop, they only roam at nighttime, and then during the daytime they go and Ve'al Maynoisim Yerbatzen, and into their lairs, then they go and they lay down to go to sleep. And it's at that time of Tizrach HaShemesh, Yetze Adam Lefalei, that's when a man leaves to go to work. So he only leaves after when it's already netzachama, only when the sun rises, as we said before, only then does he have to leave. But ulavaydasai adi arav. But for the work, he stays up until it's dark. So that's how long the work is. And then the coming back in is after it's dark, which again is on his account. So that's how we see in this pasuk, both points of when he leaves is on the employer's account, when he comes back is on the employee's account. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on this teaching of Rish Lakish. V'lechzi heichin nehigi, like we said in the halacha of Mishnah. Let's see what is the custom in the city. As we said, everything's kaminig medina. What was the purpose of Rish Lakish's teaching? We see from the pasik. What do you mean pasik? That's not what it's based on. It's based on what the custom is. When do workers usually leave? The laborers leave at this time, so then that's what it's based on. What is Rish Lakish teaching us from the pasik? So the Gemara answers, Be'ir Chadash. We're talking about a new city where there is no minig yet. It hasn't been established their customs. So then we go based on the Torah. But the Gemara still asks, B'nechsim Hechakasi. But they weren't born just now today. Where do they come from? Their customs, the people from that city, now when they come into the new city, they're obviously going based on their old customs. So this is the Gemara B'nekutai. We're talking about by a melting pot where they came from many different places. Some people come from places where they would go early. Some people come from places where they would go late. And therefore, you can't rely on the Minig HaMakom, because since it's a new city and the city did not establish their customs yet, and even the people themselves are from diverse backgrounds, so therefore, that's when we follow the Torah's protocol, which Rish Lakish was teaching. That's one approach. If you want, you could say, the Amalahu, it's where he tells them, when he says, I want to hire you like the workers of the Torah, what's the workers of the Torah? That's Rish Lakish is teaching in the Pasuk that you see that it's based on Tizach HaShemesh. That's when it's Yetz Adam Lafa'olai, but Lavadasa is Adi Arv. Now the Gemara continues with different Agadic teachings, which we start off with the Pasuk that was just brought. Darsh Reb Zera. Reb Zera expounded V'Amrilan, some say it was actually Tanya of Yisav. Yisav taught a Braisa that said as follows. Ma'adich Siv, what does it say in the Pasuk which is brought before this Pasuk that we just brought? As we mentioned, Tashas Cheshach V'Hilayla. Hashem made dark, and therefore it is night. That in the nighttime is when all the wild animals start roaming around in the forest. So he explains in a Gadic understanding. Hashem makes darkness and that is night. That's a reference to this world, which is compared to nighttime, where we don't see things clearly. And that's where the wild animals are roaming around the forest. Those are the wicked people in this world who Hashem lets them go and do and please and roam around with their wickedness, and He doesn't punish them, doesn't stop them. Because these wicked people are shadim l'chayi shaba'ar, they're comparable to the wild animals in the forest. Then the Pasuk says, Tizach HaShemesh Yosefen. When the sun rises, then they'll gather in. Ve'almaynoisim yirbasin, and to their lairs, they'll lay down. What's that a reference to? So Tizach HaShemesh, the sun rising, which is a reference that's in the world to come, that's Litzadikim. That's for the righteous, then they'll see everything clearly. Yehosefin, they'll gather in, that's Rishom LeGehenim. That's the wicked will be gathered into Gehenim. V'almaynoisim yirbatsim, when it says that to their lairs they'll lay down, it's a reference to the righteous. What does it mean that they're going to then be laying down and resting in their abode? Why is it saying the plural? Because you don't have any righteous person that doesn't have an abode, that doesn't have a resting place that will be according to his honor and his dignity. Everyone's going to have one that's according to him. That's why it says, that will be your batzen. Then the pasuk continues. It says, that man goes out to his work. What's that a reference to? Meaning when it says he's going out to his work, it means that the righteous will go out to receive the reward for the work that they did in this world. But the pasuk qualifies and says, and that for his work up until the evening, it's qualifying for the one who completed his work all the way up until the evening, meaning up until the day that he died, which that's like evening when it becomes dark, only such a person, he worked in his righteous activities, then he goes out and he'll receive his righteous reward. Now, Gemara brings a story related to this that Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon Ashkech Lahu Bagvano. Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon encountered this officer of the king, the Kartafes Ganavi, that he was a detective, an officer. He would find thieves and he would capture them. So Amalei, so he said to him, Heche Yachlis Lo, how do you understand their tactics? How do you end up catching them? Lav kechevasa mesili, aren't the wicked compared to wild animals that they hide during the day in their lairs? And therefore, how do you go out and find them if they're hiding? Dachse, like it says in the Pasuk, which was the Pasuk we brought before, and that's where the Gemara is bringing this incident. Boy sirma is kol chayisiyar, that in it, in this darkness, that the wild animals, they roam around in the forest, meaning at nighttime. But during the daytime, they're sleeping. So how do you catch them? Ikadami, those that said that actually Mahai Krokom, he actually quoted him a different pasuk to prove that these Rishayim, including the Thebes, are like wild animals. Like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, it says Yerev b'mister, that they hide themselves in concealment, Ka'arye b'suka, like a lion in his lair, in his hut, meaning how do you find them? They're wild animals. At nighttime is when they're busy, but then you can't catch them. And during the daytime, when you're looking for them, they're in hiding. So, says Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon to this officer, says, Dilma, maybe that shaklis tzaddiki, the ones that you end up taking and imprisoning, are actually the righteous people, the shafikis rishi, and actually the wicked ones are the ones that you're leaving. How do you know to find the real ganavim if you can't tell? Because during the daytime, when you're looking, they're not out doing their thievery. So, the officer said to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, he says, you're right, but umay avid, what should I do? Hamana de Malkahu, it's the command of the king that I have to capture the thieves, and I don't really know who's who, but I gotta catch somebody. So Amar Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon said to him, look, Ta Agmara Chechetabit, come here, I'll teach you what you should do to find out and catch the real thieves. Ul ba'arbashar lechanusa. In the fourth hour of the day, let's say it's a perfect day from 6 to 6, 10 o'clock, 4 hours into the day, go into the shops, which is the times of when people would normally eat their morning meal, their meal, and everyone goes into the store and they go into the shop that they to eat their day meal. Now, kichazes inish the kashasicham, when you see a person who's drinking wine, the kanokid kasa biyode v'komanam, and he's holding a cup and he's dozing off. So shal ilave, that type of person, you see that guy at that 4 hours in the day eating his meal in the delicatessen, ask about him. Itzu v'mirabanu hubenayim, if he's a Talmudic scholar and he's dozing off. So that's because Agdumi Kadim Legirse. That's because he got up early in the middle of the night to get up earlier for the day and to start his learning. Okay, that's why he's dozing off. So he's not the thief. Epoilhu, if he's a day laborer, if he got he works during the day. So Kadim Kaobada Vidate, so he got up early to do his work, and that's why already 4 hours into the day, I feel like I've been working all day, he starts dozing off. So he's not necessarily a thief. Via Vidita Balelian, if he's a craftsman that works during the nighttime. So redudi radid. So you could say that the craft that he does is that he takes threads of copper or metal and he thins them out and he makes needles out of them. Now, such a worker, he works during the nighttime when he has peace of mind. He could have the delicacy that he needs for such a profession. Now, what Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon was trying to tell him was because since he draws through his tool, which has small holes, one smaller than the other, which then thins it out, makes it into these needles. Such a job, such a craft, it doesn't make any noise, even at nighttime. No one hears him doing that craft. So therefore, what he was telling him was that even if such a guy, you passed by his house in the nighttime, you didn't hear him hacking away in his house, making noise, that doesn't mean that he was up, and that's why he's tired now, because he was stealing all night. It could be he was up all night doing this craft of thinning out these pieces of metal into these needles. So don't think that he's necessarily a thief. But then they told him, V'iloi, but again, if he's not any of these options, he's not a Talmudic scholar, he doesn't work during the day, and neither does he even work during the night, then ganavahu. Then you want to know why he's tired now and he's dozing off? Because he was up all night staying by the roads and robbing from people, or he was digging into people's houses, and he's a thief, and v'tavse. That guy you could catch, then you know you're catching the true thieves. And that's why the guy's dozing off, because he's up all night stealing. So ishtameya milsa bimalka. So what his advice was heard in the house of the king, where the officer came and says, wow, I met this brilliant guy. He said how I could find out who's the true thieves. So Amru, they said there in the palace the following mashal. Kraina de igarta, the one who reads the letter, ihu lahava pravanka, he should be the one who delivers it. In other words, what it's coming to say is, you have all the great ideas, you go ahead, you become the detective, you become the officer, and you catch the thieves. So Asula Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, so they brought Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, for Katufas Kanvi Asla, and they gave him the job, and he started catching thieves and moving on and taking them in and imprisoning them. So Shalach Rabbi Shimon Karchas, Rabbi Shimon Karchas sent a message for Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, and he said, Chaimitz ben Yayin, literally vinegar the son of wine, meaning a wicked person, the son of a righteous person. His father Reb Shimon was a great tzaddik. Admasa at the Meiser Amishal Elikinu Lariga, up until when are you going to give over the people of our God to being killed? You're catching Jewish people as thieves, and you're bringing them over to the king, and they're killing them? How can you do that? So Shalach Leiser, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon sent him, Kaitzim Ani Mechala Ben Akarim, the thorns I am getting rid of the vineyard, meaning I'm pruning out. These are the bad people. I'm getting rid of them. So Shalach Leiser, Reb Shimon Karcha sent him, Yavei Bal HaKarim, Let the owner of the vineyard, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem's vineyard is the household of the Jewish people, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, let him come, v'chales koitzim, and let him take his thorns from his vineyard. Don't be so busy taking out and getting rid of the bad of the Jewish people and taking the thieves and giving them to the government. Let Hashem do that. Now, but he kept on doing this job as detective and catching the thieves. Now, Yom Echad Poga Be'ahu Kaibis, one day, a certain launderer encountered Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, and Kari Yechemetz Binyan, and he called Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon the same term, yeah, vinegar, the son of wine. Here you are, taking Jewish people and giving them over to the government. So Amr, he said, Rabbi Shimon said, Midachatz of Kulahai, from the fact that this launderer had such audacity, because Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was still one of the great tzaddikim of the generation, Shema min Arishiyuhu, obviously he's a wicked person. Amr lehu tafsu. So he said to his soldiers, go ahead and capture him. And tafsu, and they captured him. Now, Labasa the Nachdaite, after Blazer Bashman had calmed down, Azal Basu Lefruke went after him to go ahead and let out this launderer from prison. Now, Valimatsi, but he couldn't find him. So, Kari Alei, Sir Blazer Bashman said regarding the launderer, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Shleim Repiv Lashain, if someone watches his mouth and his tongue, Shleim Mataris Nafshe, he saves himself from the travails of his soul. In other words, if this launderer wouldn't have said something so silly, he wouldn't have been in this predicament now where he's even lost in the prison system. Now, but ultimately, Zakfu, they actually ended up hanging that launderer because he was imprisoned for his crime. Now, come, Sir Belazar got up, Tusei Zakifa, and he stood beneath the wood where this launderer was hanging. But Kabachin, he was crying that because of what he had done, that he had put this guy in prison, now this launderer was hanging. So Amr Leis, so the people told Sir Belazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rebbe, our teacher, Al Yer Bein Necha, don't be so worried about what happened. Shahu ubenai, because this guy and his son, ba'olum nairu mayrasa, they cohabited with an engaged maiden, b'yom kippurim an yom kippurim, which having relations with a nairu mayrasa is actually the punishment of skila, which everyone that was stoned was hung. So the fact that he's hanging is appropriate for the crime that he did. So heniach yada b'nei meyav amar. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, when he heard this, he put his hand on his stomach and he said, sisu b'nei moy sisu, rejoice my intestines, rejoice. Because of masveka shalchem kach, if your doubtful situations are like this, where I didn't know that this guy was a criminal, I just realized that something must be amiss here because he has such audacity to talk to me like that. And turns out that I was right. Vadoy shalchem, so the definite ones of you, meaning when you have reasoning behind it, for example, like my logic of those who are sleeping at the meal in the store at the fourth hour of the day, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so for sure, I'm guaranteed, I'm definite that I do the right thing. And Muftachani Bechem, so he said regarding his intestines, I'm confident about you, She'in Rimav Seleh Shaletz Bechem, that no worm or maggots will rule over you, because although a person dies, that he becomes decomposed, that's his sins that cause it. But a righteous person doesn't decompose. And he said, I'm confident about you, my body, my flesh, that worms and maggots will never rule over you. Now, but says the Gemara, but still he wasn't calmed down totally, because ultimately a person was hanged for not a definite crime, which he had committed him to. So what he did was as follows. Ashkiyu isama deshinsa. They gave him to drink, from his word, a sleeping potion, some type of anesthetic, something that put him out. Vailulu lebeis deshisha, and they brought him into a house of marble. That is because so no wind can get in and cause any harm when they're opening up and doing surgery on the person. Vekari lekris, and they cut open his stomach. Have a mafkamine, they took out from him, dikuli detarba, baskets and baskets full of fat, because he was a very, very large and fat individual. Umaisvi b'shimsha b'tamiz v'av, and now they took his fats and put out in the sun in the hot summer months of Tamaz and Av to test if it's going to spoil and that it's going to get wormy. V'loi misrechein, it didn't spoil. Now the Gemara asks, however, kol tarba namar leisrech. What do you mean? No fats spoil, unless there's some flesh with it, but the fat itself doesn't spoil. So what was the chiddush? What did he see in this test? So the Gemara says, you're right, kol tarba leisrech. Fats themselves don't spoil, but shiraiki sumki, the red streaks that are in the fat, which are flesh, that masrich, that spoils. And hach over here, avagav de'ikah shiraiki sumki loy masrich. Even though it had these red streaks, it didn't spoil, again showing how he was a righteous person, and therefore it didn't spoil. So Kari Navshe, so after the test, he said regarding himself, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Af besori yishkan levetach, even my flesh will rest with confidence again because I know that I did the right thing. Now the Gemara tells us that, so this incident was all with Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So the Gemara tells of Avi B'Shemal B'Reisi, also B'Shemal B'Reisi, Mata, he encountered also as we continue on top of Pei Da'al Man Aleph, Ki Hai Maisa Liyadai, the same situation happened to him, that the king appointed him to capture thieves and robbers. So he was doing the same type of a job like Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon. Pogabe Eliyo, Amalei Sa Eliyo, encountered him and said to him, until when are you going to give over the nation of our God to be killed by the governments because you're capturing them as thieves? So Amalei said to Eliyo, my Avid, what should I do? Harmana de Malko, it's the command of the king. I have no choice. So Amalei said to him, what do you mean? Avuch Arak La Asya, your father, he ran away when he had to, he ran away to Asya. At Arak La Lutkiyu, you run away to Lutkiyu, and therefore don't excuse yourself by saying the king commands you. Go ahead and flee, and then you won't have to do this job, which is giving over the Jewish people to the government to be killed.